Welcome to Insights. Today's subject is on third heaven intercession, and I have with me Prophet James Gall and Seer. And are you seeing anything yet?
Hey, those angels are ready for assignments, okay?
I know. Before we came into this set, it was like the presence of God came so powerfully. There's something going on.
I tell you, there are angels. They're ready for assignments.
Whoa.
You know, I call them unemployed angels in heaven.
Wow.
And they're ready.
Do you know how they're waiting for us to dispatch them.
Yeah, do you know how they get released?
How?
We ask God. And God listens to our prayers.
Isn't that cool?
It's awesome.
It says that they fulfill the command of the Lord.
So
when
we
proclaim the word, it releases them, doesn't it?
That's right.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Yes.
And so in the realm of time, which that's what temporal means in the realm of time, which is like a capsule inside of eternity, we have all this stuff that we can see, handle, sense with our natural senses. But then there's an unseen realm that our eternal being, our eternal nature is so connected with. And that's the heavenlies.
It is. But you know, you call it the unseen realm, and it's right. But yet it's also, in a way, it's seeable. Because in a certain measure of the prophetic grace, you can see beyond the veil. You can go beyond the veil. In fact, through Jesus, He went through the veil. The veil has been pierced.
Yeah, He opened it.
And we have access before the throne of God.
It's so cool.
It is.
I love the scriptures out of Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, where it first of all talks about Jesus' placement, that He's at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. He's far above all power, all principality, every name that's named, every power that is in the universe. He's above it all in that position, because it is the highest position.
That's right.
And then in Ephesians 2, verse 6, it says that we're seated with Him.
That's right.
You know? So what does that mean then?
Hey,
we're seated in the heavenlies.
That's right. Let me tell you a story. One time I was flying, you know, I think it was over New York City, one of those times, you know, where you can't land and you're circling over the city. And I'm next to the window. I look out the window over that great city, and the Holy Spirit says to me, "This is the best position for intercession." And I'm going, "What?" He says, "Yeah," he says, "this is the best position for intercession." And I'm curious and all that kind of stuff. And I go, "No, wait a second, what do you mean?" He said, "Looking down." He said, "You are seated with me. You don't pray through the darkness."
That's it.
"Going up, you're seated with me, and you pray through the temporary present darkness to call forth light."
I love that.
Isn't that right?
Because we're the head and not the tail. We're above, the scripture says, and not beneath. And even with warfare prayer, which I know that is, you know, a controversial subject and lots of different thinking on it. But, you know, I don't think we're supposed to just shoot a BB gun up into the air at some kind of forces of darkness. But when you're in the heavenly places, seated with Christ, who's already above it all, and you're in Him, then maybe that is what the Lord meant when He says we're to tread upon the serpents and scorpions.
You know,
because they have to be under our feet.
Absolutely. There you got it. Because we are with Christ, seated with Him in where? The heavenly places. So when we're talking this terminology, third heaven intercession, and that's a term that Patricia and others use, but there's other terms that can be, you know, used as well. And you know, it's like being over your circumstances instead of under them, you know? And so third heaven, what's that mean? So the first heavens is the sky and the moon and the stars. And the second heaven is a reference in the book of Revelation. It's talking about the mid heaven, where it's, that's where the demonic host seems to have a headquarters. But they are under Christ, and Christ is seated with the Father, with all the angels worshiping in the third heaven.
And Jesus said in Matthew 28, He said, in verse 18, He says, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me." So His rule and reign is through all the heavens, first, second, third. I mean, His rule and reign is in all the heavens.
Yeah.
And so the second heaven, you know, I wouldn't think belongs to the devil, even though he might hang out there a bit, just like he hangs out a bit on earth.
That's right.
But it says the church, with the authority of Jesus, is to fill all in all.
That's right.
And so we need to fill up this space.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a lot of spiritual language. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about that. It says, the natural man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit have to be spiritually discerned, and we need to understand spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. And so in this day, when there's such a spiritual revolution, and everyone's talking the realm of the unseen and the eternal realm, whatever terminology you want to use, there's a lot of language that needs to come forward to describe what God is speaking of. So Paul, for instance, he used the term third heaven.
That's right, it's written in English out of the Greek,
third heaven. And but what are some of the other terms that would be comfortable terms for people to use?
Well, today, you know, sometimes people use the phraseology prophetic intercession, and that's praying by revelation. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you get revelation? Well, you have to ascend in worship before God through the blood of Jesus. We become cleansed, and then we worship, and we ascend before the throne of God. So another way of saying it would be throne room intercession.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are allowed to be in the throne room.
That's right.
Sometimes, you know, people struggle with these terms, you know, and you can understand it because
it's new, you know, and
we have to get used to what's new, but sometimes we just have to get a life and get over some of our...
And we need people to give us grace
as we're growing and, you know, everything has to, you know, get, you know, refined and some more precision and stuff like that. But the throne room is the place where God rules. That's where the throne is. It talks about the throne in Revelation.
That's right.
We know that John actually went into that throne room.
He was called up.
It says, come up here.
Yeah, Revelations chapter 4, verse 1.
Right.
I looked, that's the seer dimension. I looked and behold, in the heavens I saw a door standing open. And I heard a voice out of a trumpet. Hey, how do you like that stuff? A voice out of a trumpet speaking to me saying, come up here.
I find it interesting. It didn't say, I'm going to bring you up here.
No.
He said, come up here.
That's right.
Which means that John had to make a faith response.
That's right. But it also is an astral projection, which is self-will of like trying to push something forth. It was an invitation by God then that was met by a human response.
Right. And it says, come up here.
That's right.
And we find that that was the third heaven or throne room. You know, the heavenly place where Jesus' throne is, the Father's throne is.
Well, what's in the throne room? What's in the third heavens, Patricia?
Well, there's all kinds of good things in there. And you know what? The Bible is our handbook on everything in the invisible realm.
That's right.
Everything needs to be lined up. If we are going to have experiences in the invisible realm, we need to line it up with this word.
Absolutely.
So we find through the word that in the throne room and in the third heaven dimension, there's like, for instance, a river of life. There's trees on each side. There's a crystal sea. There's living creatures.
There's even a rainbow around the throne.
There's colors like jasper and emerald, and there's lots of blue colors like the sapphire.
That's right.
There's activity in heaven.
There's lights. There's sounds. There's colors. Listen,
there's creatures, weird ones.
Yeah, some strange ones. In Hebrews 12, it says, but we've come to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels. It says in verse 23, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
Yeah, and that's all our inheritance,
isn't it?
That's what we've been brought into.
That's, in a way, that's our home. That's our address. You know, people use this phraseology. They say, people are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. You know, now I think what God's actually looking for is for a people who are so heavenly minded, they are of earthly good.
That's right.
And so let's just ascend through worship to the man Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, where the scepter or the authority of God has been lowered to us as believers, like in the book of Esther. And we come before a king, the king through Jesus Christ, our advocate. He takes us by the arm and he marches us and he presents us before the king. And in there he even says, hey, come up here, sit on my lap. And he says, rule and reign with me through the one man, Christ Jesus. And then you enter into intercession.
There we go.
Not only devotional prayer. This is different from devotional prayer now. And you enter into intercession where you extend the rule of God and you call forth that which is not as though it already is.
That's right. We work with Creator God in
that. That's right.
I love that. Do you know that we are actually commanded in Scripture or exhorted in Scripture to be heavenly minded?
Yeah.
In Colossians 3, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, mm-hmm. which we have been,
That's
and he's
right.
speaking to living believers here, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. Not just seeking Christ, but
That's
isn't
true.
That interesting? He
it
said, seek the things.
That's right.
Seek the things. I love that.
And I remember an experience I had one time when I was teaching on my best friend's wedding, of course, which is Jesus, and he's got a wedding that's coming, and we're his bride that the Holy Spirit is preparing. And in this, though, after teaching this, I invited people to come up and just experience the fire of God's love. And in this, then, there was this place, and I saw something in the seer dimension, and I saw this gate called Beautiful. And I passed through this in a visionary, interactive vision, from the temporal, that's the earth realm, mm-hmm. over to the eternal, the invisible. And I went through the gate called Beautiful. And on the other side of there is life. There is life. There is life. And God wants us through worship and prayer to come over to the other side where there's mm-hmm. eternal life. But he wants us to then catch that and bring it back over to the temporal side and release heaven on earth.
I love that. Just as we close here, I just want to share a scripture out of Hebrews 10 that I think is important. It starts in verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, and in Hebrews 9, it references the holy place of being heaven itself. Heaven itself, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. And since we have a great priest who is Jesus over the house of God, let us draw near. Near to what?
Yeah.
You know? Near to his presence, near to the throne. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith.
That's right.
Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And so we can ascend.
Yes.
Into third heaven, throne room, the heavenlies, whatever term that you feel comfortable using, we can ascend into his holy presence, into heaven itself through faith, through worship, and stand before him and say, Father, I'm asking you to show
yes.
me your purposes. I want heaven's perspective.
Yes.
And from this place,
that's
I
right.
want to release heaven into the earth, because that's what Jesus said. Pray this way.
That's
let your
right.
kingdom come. Let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven.
Heaven come. Will be done. That's the way that's actually done. It's like a commandment, and we're called to command that into being. Heaven, come on down. Will be done in
there
earth.
There you go. And because we're born again Christians, because mm-hmm. we have eternal life in us, because we're eternal beings, we can stand in that throne room and release
yes.
Father's will into the earth, that the Son might be glorified, that the Amen. Knowledge of the glory of Jesus will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. James, this book is called Kneeling on the Promises, Birthing God's Purposes Through Prophetic Intercession. And it looks like a wonderful book. Can you explain to us what's in this? You know, on a program like this, Third
yeah.
Heaven Intercession is a huge, massive subject.
Yeah.
And of course, we can only introduce it,
yeah.
right? And we're going to do a little bit of it in a while. But these are helps. We have resources that can help people get strengthened in their faith, get teaching.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your book there, Kneeling on the Promises.
Okay, this book comes from out of experience, from research of Scripture and from church history. And I've gone through to try to give language to some of these, I call them the lost arts of intercession. But Kneeling on the Promises is the first book historically written in church history on prophetic intercession or revelatory prayer or
wow.
ascending before the throne of God and getting God's heart. You know, what is third heaven intercession, throne room intercession? What's this all about? It's about getting God's heart on a manner and then coming into union with what he has to say. You know, God has burdens in his heart. He wants to impart that to us. And then so we are called not only to stand on the promises, but we're also called to kneel. And that deals on Isaiah chapter 62, where it says, I have appointed watchmen who give God no rest, give themselves no rest, who remind the Lord. So there is a place where we got to know the Word of God. And so this thing is chock full of scriptures where you can study to show yourself approved and pray the promises of the Lord.
You know what I love about your material is that there's so much revelatory information, but really good, solid Bible teaching as well.
Yeah, good.
And
thank
I
you.
Just love that. And your study guides are some of the best. You've got how many, about 20 of them or something?
Yeah,
it seems
it
like
did.
There's a lot of
yeah,
them.
There
yeah,
there are 16 of them now.
Yeah, I've gone through a few of them.
Yeah.
But this one here is called Compassionate Prophetic Intercession. Yeah. What does that mean?
Man, there's chapters of lessons in here on weeping, the
wow.
power of tears in his bottle, compassion, the necessary ingredient, because we're not just called to be only prophetic. We're also called to have a heart that's full of passion and compassion for people. And I tell you, and that's a key to intercession,
yeah.
is again, having a heart both for God and for people. And I tell you, you will cry out to the Lord. That there's lessons in here on the power of proclamation and how to wage war with the prophetic.
All right.
Some great material.
I love that. That's great. And these are very easy to go
yeah.
through. They're very well laid out. It's awesome. You know, as you were sharing about the tears,
right.
I just could feel in my spirit that someone watching this program was perking up and saying, hey, just a minute, what was that again?
Yeah.
Because I cry all the time
yeah.
and I don't even know why. And I think it's an intercession burden that's on you.
That's right.
And so maybe that book would help you.
Yeah.
And you also have your Seer book. The
yeah.
Seer is amazing. It is... really cutting edge right now, but
wow.
very necessary because of
wow.
of what God's bringing the body into, and there needs to be understanding for that. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about the Seer. Whoa!
Yeah,
book.
There's a presence here just right now, and so I just say receive, actually, an impartation of the Seer anointing, the prophetic power of dreams, visions, and open heavens.
Yeah.
And so I just say, you know, I wrote this to help give language, to build a bridge. It's full of scripture. It's full of church history. It's full of interviews that I've done with people who know this dimension and stories from my own life. I just say, receive the Seer anointing. And,
whoa.
And there's also a 40-day devotional journal now of the Seer that complements
wow.
that.
Perfect.
That you can do one-on-one, do a discipleship group, and just radically get it all away.
You know, James, you have been so seasoned in this, not only through your study, but through your experiences, which, you know, have been amazing in God. And some of us, like myself, we have like little tiny bits of those threads in our lives. And I just felt the Lord saying that there would be maybe a prayer through you for those of us that want more. And I just
right.
feel like there's going to be an increase. I just feel like the Lord's saying he's offering it to us. So if you want to pray for all of us that want more, that would be great.
That'd be awesome. I'll pray two things. One, the Seer grace. Now I'm going to pray for the power of intervention. And that deals with, oh gosh, a whole another authority level. Father,
mm-hmm.
even as Elisha prayed for the servant, one who couldn't see, and he made a declaration. He said, open the eyes of your servants that they might see. Right now, I call forth for something like scales to fall off people's, even natural eyes and spiritual eyes, as Ananias prayed for Paul, for Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, obstacles and hindrances fall off
thank you, Lord.
Of people's minds, off of their hearts, off of their eyes, so they can see, mm-hmm. know, discern, distinguish, differentiate light from darkness, and release the Seer dimension. And I call forth right now an impartation of a whole nother authority mm-hmm. level, because we're not just trying to ascend
yes,
up
Lord.
Through something. We're now going to pray down through the present darkness.
That's right.
And we're seated
wow.
with Christ Jesus. I just call you up. I call you up. I call you up. I call you up higher. Even as John the Beloved, I say, come up higher. Come up through worship. Magnify the name of the Lord. And I speak a whole nother authority level to you, that you will release a sphere of God's presence in the earth realm.
Thank you, Lord. Wow, I received that. That's awesome. I also wanted to feature for our viewers that are just
yeah.
wondering, what is all this third heaven intercession about? We have a CD teaching. There's three CDs
awesome.
In here on the subject of third heaven intercession. And we go into all kinds of material from the Bible.
Sure.
What is heaven like? How do you access the heavens? Can we? Are we allowed to? What gives us the right to? What gives us the scriptural endorsement? endorsement to do so. And then when we get there, how do we practically receive the revelation and download it into the earth? And so this little CD series covers that material. So that might be a help for some of our viewers. I just love this stuff. Now, why don't we just lead everyone into this?
Let's just go there.
Now, we're going to go there on the basis of the Word of God.
Yeah.
If there's a covenant promise and you're a covenant child of God, which is a born-again believer in Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. So the Scripture says that you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. The Scripture says that we are to boldly come before the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. What's the throne of grace? It's the throne that Jesus sits on,
you know.
And we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain things. We can obtain mercy and grace. And that word grace there means the divine influence of God to fulfill His will and purpose in our life. So we can go into the heavens and we can obtain mercy and grace. So let's ascend by faith in worship. Just focus on Jesus. Begin to worship Him and allow your faith and belief in the Word of God to cause you to just stand before His presence and make supplication, intercession, thanksgivings, petitions. And so, Father, we stand on your promise right now, your promise that says that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we ascend upon that promise, and we ascend in worship.
Yes.
We rise up into your presence by faith through the blood of Jesus that has given us access. And as we stand in your presence, we wait on you now to hear your voice. What do you want to release into the earth? Yes. What do you want to speak to us concerning your divine will and purposes? And so we wait and we listen. Now, it's that simple. Now, just listen. Listen to what God is going to speak to you. And then when He speaks, then that's what you pray out. That's what you release by faith into the earthly realm. And isn't that simple?
It is.
Isn't that simple?
See, just receive right now God's heart beating in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't now like two different rhythms. Our spirit man, our heart is brought into union with the man Christ Jesus. And now His heart is beating inside of us. And two now are coming into agreement. The two that need to come into agreement isn't just Patricia and me or me and my wife, Michael Ann. But the first I need to come in agreement with is the man Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We are now in worship. We honor you. We magnify you, holy God. And we just receive your heart into us. And now tune us in to what your heart is saying.
Yes, Lord.